Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
9.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, so about an hour from now, you're going to get that code word. Your chance to win Metallica tickets every day in May. Next chance to win coming up at 4:20. Listen for the secret code word. Text that to 206-803-ROCK. So again, 4:20 coming up. Your next chance to win tickets to see Metallica. In the meantime, it is a random question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
We just talked about hangover cures at the time you got the drunkest, worst hangover. Somebody here says, I put green Kool-Aid in Night Train. Had a bottle and a half, woke up in the basement, no light. Opened the door, it's sunny, about 90 degrees out. Hangover hit right then. Headache, felt like my tongue needed to be shaved. Okay, well, Night Train will do that. As far as hangovers go, someone says fried rice is the best thing for a hangover. Never tried that, but I give it a shot.
Well, a lot of people go out and get pho.
Oh, somebody here says Mexicans do menudo for hangovers, which basically be like Mexican pho, right? Let's see. I work for an insurance company that writes coverage for IV hydration. It's a very popular in the med spas, he says. And someone else says, for us peasants, Dramamine works every time. I've heard that, man. I don't think I've ever used Dramamine.
Nope. Random. Well, it makes sense because it keeps you from feeling dizzy. It keeps you from feeling lightheaded. Like if you're on a boat and you have motion sickness.
Is that what it's for?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only thing I know that it's for is for seasickness.
I never knew what it was
but
for.
But to stabilize your mind or whatever.
That makes sense.
Maybe it kind of works in that way. I don't
keep
know.
Your equilibrium.
Never, yeah, never thought of that.
Equal. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Andrew, welcome to the program. Random question. Okay, let's go with this one. What was your travel nightmare?
So travel nightmare would probably be today, actually. My fiance forgot to book my brother's flight, and he's supposed to be coming up and help me travel and get my motorhome to Colorado. And we're having my bachelor party in 2 days, and we're probably not going to be able to make it now.
Wait, what? You're not going to make your own bachelor party?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We're trying to get him a flight right now, but... for everyone out there, make sure that if someone says that they booked you a flight, you get the confirmation number.
Brother, those are the wisest words ever spoken. Get the confirmation number. So you honestly might not make your own bachelor party.
That is correct.
Which means you'd have the most interesting bachelor story of all.
Is that because your buddy said he would buy your tickets?
No, my fiance was buying my brother's tickets to come out here and help me move my motor home to Colorado, but we might end up turning it into a road trip instead.
And not the worst thing in the world. No. That's not what you had planned. How many other, if you can't make it, how many other people would still make it anyway and throw down without you?
I mean, we already got the Airbnb and everything, and there's four other people that are already in on it. So,
well, if the worst case scenario is you can just get on a flight, right?
Well, the thing is, I'm in the military, and I got to get my motorhome back home before we go on deployment. So.
Gotcha.
Oh, God.
All right, makes sense.
Yep. See, that's why I didn't join the military. I didn't want to miss a bachelor party.
The reason we asked, what was your travel nightmare? An American Airlines flight turned around 2 hours in after a passenger called a flight attendant. What do you think?
The C word.
Nope.
Oh.
Waiter.
Oh. Wait, what?
Waiter.
Called the flight attendant a waiter.
Waiter.
And that was grounds to turn the flight
after
around.
2 hours, the plane turned around and went back to its original part.
Because it called them a waiter.
Correct. American Airlines flight 2557 turned around after 2 hours of flying because a passenger called a steward waiter, per the outlet. The flight took off from New York with a destination of Georgetown in Ghana. According to the New York Post. Yeah. The passenger, who'd been flying business class, asked an attendant to help him put his luggage in an overhead bin because he had recently undergone surgery on his spine. Now, per the publication, the attendant allegedly replied, "No, I don't do that. I don't get paid that kind of money. But if you don't like it, there's always another airline."
Wow. Got to be more to it than that.
Per the Post, another flight attendant eventually helped the passenger, identified as Joel Gransham. When the beverage service began, the attendant, who had already allegedly refused to help him because of their wages, asked Gransham if he'd like something to drink. He said he didn't respond because I didn't want to make a scene. The attendant again asked, and Graham spoke, said that he replied, "No, thank you, waiter." Per the Post, the attendant told Gransham that he was not a waiter, adding that he had the power to turn the plane around. The Post reported that Gransham told the attendant, "You must be God, so you do it." According to the publication, the pilot announced moments later, flight's going to turn back to JFK. Gransham was removed from the plane at the airport and questioned by TSA before he was allowed to leave. American Airlines said he was a disruptive passenger who forced the pilot to turn the plane around. "Safety and security are our top priorities. We thank all customers for their understanding of our team member for the professionalism of managing."
Did he hijack the plane? Then he did not force anyone to do it.
The flight attendant started it with that attitude.
Yeah. Right. Gansham denied being in a disruption. There was not a disruption. I never got up. There was no argument, he said. There was not a confrontation. Nobody touched each other. He was wearing a mask. He wasn't even loud. It was just his pride. According to the news, Gransham received an apology from American Airlines 2 days after the incident and also gave him 10,000 free miles as compensation. So obviously they admitted to error.
Well, that means they probably talked. I'm sure the flight attendant told the pilot something different.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the captain of a plane who's flying from New York City to frickin' Africa, direct flight, says, "Yes, I'll turn around 2 hours in," because it didn't call you a slur, did not insult, just called you a waiter.
But read the first part of that again when he asked him for help because he just had a surgery.
Yeah.
He had surgery on his spine.
And the guy says, "I can't help you. I don't get paid." But then
he says, "No, I don't do that. I don't get paid that kind of money. But if you don't like it, there's always another airline."
Right. See, right there. There is no reason to say that. Even if you just say, "No, I'm not going to help you," be like, "You don't like it? Go take another airline." Like, at that point, you're setting a tone.
Yeah. He said, "Actually, I'm not going to take American Airlines' apology." And one more story on a travel nightmare. This one is awful. When you get on a plane, there are plenty of things that you can reasonably expect may go wrong. Person in front of you, they say, might recline their seat and drape their long hair over the screen. A baby could cry. Your seatmate might be one of those sick freaks who kicks off the socks and shoes. Heck, you could even encounter some terrible turbulence. But there are things you can never expect. Like 70 passengers all getting sick with the same stomach bug and turning your flight into the puke tube from hell.
Oh.
Daily Mail reports that large numbers of passengers aboard Condor Airlines from Mauritius to Frankfurt all appeared to have been bit by the same stomach bug. With only a couple of bathrooms available, 70 passengers desperately needed to puke their guts out. You can only imagine what they say how horrible the rest of the flight was. Apparently, though, they were close enough to their destination. They simply kept going until they arrived in Frankfurt. The airline stewards allowed them to continue to go to the bathroom.
Right. I mean, what are you going to do, man?
Emergency personnel, they were on the ground. They were ready to pick up and treat these sick passengers. A spokesman confirmed to the airline that the incident did not occur as far as something that originated from the airline.
Of course they said that.
They were all someplace else, and something had to be wrong with the food. As a lot of these people were in a traveling party together.
Ah, okay.
That said, they still claim not to know exactly what went wrong, basically saying, "Hey, all we know is this. As far as the food poisoning was concerned, these passengers started feeling the ill effects as they were boarding the plane."
So it wasn't us.
Right, correct. And they still had meal service, which no one apparently ate, and the people that did threw it all back up.
I will say, I've had two flights that were very bad, but I have one that I think's the worst. In retrospect, it was not. So one flight, I'm flying from England back to Baltimore, so 30, 35 years ago. And basically had, I can't remember the name of this particular kind of stroke, but had that on the plane. And I cannot explain that, how much it hurts and all this thing. This is the flight where we had a layover in Iceland. And as the plane is descending to land in Reykjavik, obviously you should be seatbelted in. And it was like a slow motion chase. The flight attendants trying to chase me because the plane is not like in a nosedive, trying to land in this little airport. But I had to puke, man. And I basically, the plane landed with me puking in a bathroom, smashed my head on the commode, just puke all over me. That's not the one that made me the unhappiest. You fast forward to having children, and children have a way of grinding your effing nerves anyway. They are 3 and 2 years old, which frankly is the worst possible age. Look, if you have a screaming infant, it's just a screaming infant. It is not personal. They're not doing anything. They're an infant. They don't get what's going on. I understand. I can tune them out. 3 and 2 years old, I'm going to kill them. It's already after Christmas. We are tired. We're flying from Philly to Seattle. They're acting up in the airport, you know. And when you're in public with your kids, that's what I say. You get your AM radio voice.
Yeah.
Like you want to yell. With everything considered enough like this, please stop doing whatever you're doing. I will kill you. So I'm already feeling hostile. My wife is getting very, very ill. Right? So she's puking. So she's not a lot of help. And she just can't be. And at that age, you're traveling with, like, every freaking thing that they own.
So many bags.
Right? Just every, and it's breast pumps and cherry, like, all this crap. And it's like, I brought two City pairs cups. Of underwear, a pair of socks. Right. They've got everything. So you're going through TSA. As we go through TSA, my daughter takes off running. I go to chase after. I understand the TSA agent. He got to get to my path, put his hand on my chest and said, sir, you can't do that. I said, I'm going after my daughter. And just as a word of advice, don't ever get between a parent and their kid. When they're going to disappear, bad things will happen to you. He understood. I get my daughter. We get her back. Fine. We get through TSA. I get pulled aside. Again, my wife's not feeling good. And there's this giant dude standing there. He's opened a bag. And he's like, sir, what is that? And I get it. There's a bunch of tubes and these weird little things. And I said, dude, it's a breast pump. I thought that would explain it. This guy, I guess, had never heard of a breast pump. So he kind of gives me a look like I'm being funny. You know, what exactly does that do? I'm like, my wife sticks it on her boobs, man. This thing pumps, and then milk goes through these tubes that you're looking at, and they go in these freaking bottles, right? Because I'm just at the end of it. Meanwhile, the kids are still going nuts, but I'm trying to explain to this guy. Finally, a female TSA agent walked over, just peeked in the bag 1 second, looked at the guy, and just said, baby, it's a breast pump. It's fine. And keep in mind, I got two kids. And then we get on the plane, and I, again, I'm just harassed. I'm in that pissy mood. But you know when you're mad, so you just don't say anything. Because no matter what comes out of your mouth, you're going to regret it. But my face is radiating this. So we finally take off. And keep in mind, the kids are still just going ape-ass on the plane. And the way airlines do it, once your kid is 2 years old, you got to buy him a seat. Right? So now it costs me $500 for a ticket. It costs $200 for my son's ticket, which I wouldn't care except he's sitting in my lap. So there's this open seat, $500 worth of money just gone. I got a $500 lap, whatever. I love my kid. It's fine. They even let me take off with him in my lap. But the belt around is cool. Thank you. Before beverage service even starts, flight attendant says, sir, you look like you could use a drink. And I said, by God, I can. Thank you so much. She said, what would you like? I just ordered a beer. She said, I will get you a beer. I said, man, thank you. Seriously, you have no idea. I've never needed a beer this bad in my life. And we pull it on the tray table, and she puts the beer, and, you know, they open it for you. And within 1/2 of 1 second of her opening this beer, I feel my lap get cold because my son has knocked the beer over directly into my lap. And it misses him and just lands on my lap. And then it goes into the seat. So now your ass is wet, your testicles are wet, and your inner thighs are wet. And I reek of beer. But as cold and as shocking as that beer was, suddenly my lap, the temperature goes back up to regular room temperature because right after he spilled a beer on my lap, he peed on my lap, peed directly into my lap. And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's got to die, right? Like, you, homicide has to be legal, right? Just for a moment. So I'm looking over at my wife, and she's just this puddle next to the window going, you know you have to change his diaper now. So I goddamn know I have to change his diaper now. Just give me a second. So get up. Taking my son toward the bathroom, and there's a dude sitting maybe halfway back in a plane. It looks like I have peed myself. Just keep that in mind. My son looks dry because it's all in his diaper. But to look at his clothes, he looks fine. It looks like I have wet myself and that my son is taking me to the bathroom to change me. So this guy chuckles. Wasn't a big deal. And looking back, I feel bad, but he's just like, oh. I looked at him right now and said, it is not effing funny yet. And this dude got real serious, Change my kid. It's fine. The rest of the flight was fine, except if you ever just sit in wet clothes and wait for them to dry, it's just that horrible feel. But it's a six-hour flight, man. There's nothing you can do. My clothes are in a suitcase. There's nothing. The only things in the carry-on that are clothing are my kid's stuff. But the worst part was now he is asleep on me, okay? So his flight was fine. All this noise and mess and crap that him and his sister were going through getting onto the plane. Well, I had to sleep for 5.5 out of the 6 hours, but all I can smell is stale beer and pee, man. And it's on me, and my legs are uncomfortable. And I'm like, I'm going to kill the world.
And that's the thing. Look, if it was just beer, yeah, you're not happy about it.
Fine.
But the fact that it's pee.
Instantly.
Adds that Willy's factor on there, too. Like, I have to get this off of me, and I can't.
All I want to do is get home so I could get these goddamn clothes off of me. My legs are all chafed.
How long did you contemplate going into that bathroom, taking your pants off, and running them under the water?
I thought about it for a minute, and then I'm like, don't. And you know what the difference was? It was just pride, because everyone, we're not first class, but we're sitting toward the front of the cabin. So everyone has seen me with this wet ass stain on my lap. They can see my face. They know I'm like eating glass right now. And I'm like, if you go there and do it, everyone will know that you did it. And somehow, I don't know.
But in these bags, the kids have 9 different changes of clothes.
They got everything they need. Yeah. Everything.
They're going to be fine. Like, you never bring
them. I gave him a different change of clothes in the bathroom, and I'm like, the only one of us that smells like pee and beer is me, and you're responsible for all of this.
Yeah, I've definitely spilt a beer in my own lap on a flight.
That's okay.
But there was no pee. So, like, when I landed in the city I was going to, I just checked in the hotel and changed out. But you're right. 4-hour flight when you're damp.
Just feeling, oh, my God.
But then there's that one flight I had years ago, and this kid was, like, 7. And I mean, she spilled soda on me, everything else. It's like, geez.
And the difference is you can't really say anything to her. If it were your own kid, like, hey, dumbass, get a sippy cup or something. But you can't really say that to a stranger. And then she cried to switch seats with you or something?
That's how it started. I was in the window seat, and she's on her phone crying. Now, when they bring a kid on that age, that the parents aren't with them.
Yeah.
Like, they sit them down. So I know that this kid obviously is in... going from, like, the dad to the mom or the mom to the dad. Right, so she is just crying. And at some point I hear, I wanted the window seat. I just wait. Would you like the window seat? Can I have the window seat? Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Right? Like, I'd been back home or at Disney World with the whole family. So I'm like, fine. But then she just kept ordering stuff because the dad gave her, like, $100.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, one soda's on me. Like, she keeps it. The only thing I did tell her, I just said, hey.
Spill another drink, I'm in, you die.
There's better stuff you can get in the airport when you land. She's like, well, I got to spend the money. And I'm like, you don't have to. Like, the part of me just as a human is just like, kid, just wait till you get to the airport.
Buy me a beer.
These little snack boxes suck.
Yeah. Yep.
Should ask for a beer, man.
I think the flight attendant might have gotten me a free beer.
That's fair.
Just once the kid started spilling stuff on me. I was like, it's... But again, it's a 7 or 8-year-old kid. Like, you can only do so much.
It's in the moment. I mean, this was my own child. I love him to death. But in that moment, it's like, I will leave you outside with the trash, man. I am going to kill you.
Yeah, like, this one wasn't bad. It's just me and my buddy. But literally, we got beers. We're flying to Milwaukee. He spills his in his lap. I'm dying laughing. Like, you dumbass. Spill mine in my lap.
How did you guys spill your beer? What are you doing to spill your beer? You just knocked it
with your hands?
Talking with our hands. Okay. Not paying attention. So it became like everybody knew we were the two idiots. To the point of like, we spend 2 days in Milwaukee. It's Sunday afternoon. I get on the flight, walking down the aisle. And this guy's like, Ted! What's up, man? I was like, what's up? He's like, I was the guy next to you. You guys kept spilling beer. He's like, yep, that's us.
Yeah, we did. You ever been cut off on a plane?
On a plane, no. But Miles? In St. Louis, they almost didn't let me on the plane.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I have.
I've been with you on three separate occasions. I've watched you get cut off. And then here's what Miles' trick, all right? So the flight attendant comes up. They don't like me. They just like Miles less. So they absolutely cut Miles. Hey, man, no more drinks for you. Miles says, okay, man, my bad. Cool. Hey, man, Miles is sitting behind me, but they know we're together, okay? So now we resume the flight. Maybe 5 minutes after this thing goes by, I see this hand reach up my head and hit the call button, which is already like the worst thing you can do with a flight attendant. And look, you have an emergency. Mm-hmm. And then he's like,
it was an emergency.
He was like, give me a double vodka bottle. And I'm like, so the flight attendant shows up, man. I'm still drinking my drink. And keep in mind, I have not been drinking vodka on this flight. I'm drinking Jack. Miles has been drinking vodka. So she comes up to my seat And she has that very fake but super patient smile and just says, yes, sir, is there something I can do for you? I'm like, yeah, I need a double vodka soda. She's like, it's not for him behind you. So I was like, who's behind? No. Not, well, you've been drinking Jack Daniels this entire flight. I know that, but variety is the spice of life.
Can
Could I please get a double vodka? And just so I don't bug you more, could I also get another double Jack? She knew goddamn well it was for Miles.
But how'd you manage to piss him off on that short of a flight?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But you did.
I have no idea.
Like, I've seen so many reasons for flight attendants cut people off, and they don't. What in the world did you say
to
these
into a Chili's to go in the Anchorage airport and sat down, and the woman looked at me and goes, no.
She cut. We literally sat down.
It was 8:30 in the morning. All I did was get up and go to the airport.
And she would not.
I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're cut off. And I'm like, I just woke up. I just took a shower. Like, I'm just sitting here. I want breakfast.
It is amazing.
Did you chirp anybody on the way in?
No. Just the guy sitting at the bar.
Because when I got in trouble in St. Louis, it was the exact thing. The guy said, sir, I think you're intoxicated. And I said, it's okay. First I said, don't leave me in St. Louis. He lives in St. Louis. That did not go over well. And I said, I'm okay. Trust me. And he goes, do you know the person you just high-fived? And I was like, no, I'll go sit down.
Oh, mine was five dudes in camo that could obviously kill you. The bar is packed. I walk by and go, dude, there's five seats open.
Camo, guys, look. Yeah.
They all turn around looking like, oh, God, camo, my bad.
Wonder why she thought you were drunk.
They had rifles and cases that were like 8 feet long, yeah. Man. I mean, I was just like, that's probably stupid.
Or even when they turned around and looked, I just made it a point to like thumb at Miles. Like,
hey, no, wait, there's five seats open at the bar. Holy crap, it's camo. More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Thank you for all the emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com with locations of the Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. We appreciate it. Keep the photos and the locations coming in. We'll keep spreading the word. Some additional locations.
Oh.
Where you can find the brand new Men's Room IPA. The Shell Red Barn. Also in Safeway in Lake Serene and in Monroe. The Hagen in Snohomish. Snohomish Fuel and Food. The ABC Grocery. The Easy Mart Marine View. Cypress Mini Mart. John's Handy Mart, where you can walk out with a six-pack and a smile. The Manhattan Express Grocer. Valley Wine and Spirits. Sky Gas. Total Wine in Tequila. The Pit Stop Grocery. The Lucky Three Food Store. Lakewood Food and Gas. AMPM Federal Way. American Lake Market. The South Bay Market. Gravely Lake 76. The Arco AMPM in Snohomish. Carnation Farms. The Old 76. Fix Market. The Grocery Outlet in Port Angeles. And the Waterfront Deli Market in Seattle. Just a few of the locations where you can find the brand new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven.
And each and every one of those places. Carrigan, thank you. Thank you so much, dude. That is very awesome to do.
Tons of places have it on draft. If you were in Ballard, I know for a fact that Mike's Chili Parlor, where we had our Men's Room World Tour stop last year, they have the beer on draft as well. And there's also a list of locations at KISW.com if you want to get close in your area to see where the latest updates have been. But
we'll
keep the updates coming and keep you abreast of what's going on there. All right, it's a random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the Men's Room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola!
Jesse, we're doing well, man. Thank you. Let's see.
I'm making pizza rolls.
What's that?
I'm making pizza rolls and drinking Tito's.
Are you stoned?
Oh, I'm so stoned.
Okay, yeah. That is the stoner. I can't believe Jack in the Box doesn't just offer that. Like, you bring your pizza rolls, we'll just microwave them.
What
for
kind
it.
Of pizza rolls do you get? Cheese, pepperoni, or pepperoni and sausage?
I'm saying pepperoni.
All right, so I buy the Kroger brand because they're cheaper.
Yeah. What's inside of the Kroger brand?
It just says about 90 meat assortment.
Wait, what does it say now?
Meat assortment?
I'll look at the bag in the trash. I don't know. It says like meat.
What do you think the meat assortment is?
Pepperoni and meat assortment.
Pepperoni and meat.
Are you on a health kick?
Obviously.
No.
Okay.
Anybody tried the White Castle little like? They have like a beets, like a pizza roll, but it's like a little cheeseburger roll.
Ooh.
No. Dude, those look so good.
Yeah, I haven't had them. I've seen them. I've seen people online talking about them. But since you're actively eating pizza rolls, thought maybe you had.
It's pizza with pepperoni and a meat assortment.
You might have already answered this question, but our random question for you. What have you eaten or consumed on a dare?
What have I eaten or consumed on a dare?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a picky person, but I did eat a worm. You know, the worm in the bottom of the tequila?
Yeah. Okay, two real quick things, Jesse. You're not picky. You're eating pizza rolls with a meat assortment, and you ate a worm. So did the worm get you really hammered when you ate it? Because that's one thing I've heard. I've never done it. They said the worm, I guess, absorbs all that tequila. So no?
It depends on the size.
I was in Mexico when I was 19. No.
Would you consider eating a leg of one of the tarantulas that's in a bottle of tequila?
Dude, I am terrified of bugs, so no way.
But to do the
I would rather eat, like, I said, I've eaten heart and stuff, so I've eaten organ meat. I've, like, we're at a steakhouse, so it's like, I've done, like, organ meat and stuff like that, but, like, no insects.
You wouldn't even need a tarantula. Like, tarantulas freak me out because they don't make sense in my mind, but I would eat the leg, assuming that it's been soaking up tequila. I assume it's the same. Yeah, I would do that.
Absolutely not.
Really? But you'd do the worm.
No. You would bite into a tarantula that's been soaking it up. No, normally that's mezcal, right?
The leg.
The worm is in the mezcal. Leg. It was never
in the worm. The worm is mezcal, not tequila, right?
The tarantula's in tequila?
I guess.
I mean, I know there's a brand of tequila called tarantula. But like, it's not very high end or good.
I would eat the leg of a tarantula if it's been soaking in a bottle of tequila. Or mezcal. It's good. Like, I'm not going to eat the whole tarantula, and somehow I still would not take a bite out of the body, but I think I could suffer through a leg, and it would still just taste like tequila, right?
In theory?
Have you ever seen the worm in the actual bottle?
In mezcal?
Yeah.
The
first time I saw it, we were in Mexico City. You always heard about it, but you never saw it. And
correct.
The bartender there explained to me and the wife the same thing you just explained, which is we don't put it in tequila. Tequila is impure. Mezcal, they put it in to prove its purity, which makes no sense because the worm's dead anyway, but whatever. But he showed us the bottle, and I was kind of, no, thank you. Because you offered me the worm.
You know,
it's like that gringo dare. Like, hey, you're visiting from the States, man. You want the worm? I'm like, I'd like to say I did it, man, but I'm not feeling it right now.
Yeah, I feel like to me, if I'm eating something that's been soaked in liquor, it's usually fruit.
It helps.
That will mess you up, though.
What's the fruit?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
That's why it's fun to eat fruit.
Raise, we asked, what have you eaten or consumed on a dare? Armpit onigiri?
Onigiri.
Bizarre take on a classic Japanese snack where cute girls allegedly press the rice under their armpits and infuse it with their pheromone-containing sweat.
Are they saying that ugly women couldn't do it? Could they specifically say cute girls?
Some sources claim that this was inspired by the iconic scene in a movie where an old man assists a protagonist by rolling rice balls with his armpits. This theory is supported by a plethora of armpit onigiri anime-style artworks can be found online. But as for how the bizarre treat transitioned into real life, that remains a mystery. It was weird enough to know some people are actually trying armpit-rolled rice balls in their own homes. But apparently there are restaurants that proudly serve armpit onigiri to customers willing to pay 10 times the regular price.
No. Just no.
It's in Japan, though, right?
Yeah, it's Japan.
I mean, some of the stuff they got going over there is a little weird. Like the geisha stuff and...
Sure. I get it. If you got a weird sex thing, like, I get it. This is just food, and it's just rice of all the food.
Some restaurants openly demonstrate the process in open kitchens, proudly promoting their staff chefs and the unique technique by allowing customers to actually visit the kitchen. Hygiene regulations alone would make this service a major liability for any restaurant, but either way, they're throwing down. Now we hear this story. How many cheese balls could you eat in 30 minutes?
Oh. Honestly.
Are these cheese balls like us cheese balls?
I think so. I can't be real cheese. It has to be the puff cheese thing, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm guessing.
They're cheese balls.
Yeah. Well, I know.
He's not eating like a hunk of cheese.
How many could you eat in 30 minutes?
Keep in mind, New York City a while ago, right, there was a guy that was like, find me on the pier. I'm going to eat like a rotisserie chicken or two of them. So this guy basically kind of copied that and just said, hey, meet me wherever. I'm going to eat this entire thing of cheese balls.
Okay. Well, chances are not as many as the man recently did in New York Union Square Park. The man's goal was to eat 700 cheese balls in under 30 minutes. He washed them down with water in front of hundreds of spectators. I had to do it. You know, so many people were counting on me. So despite hurling up in my mouth a little bit, I kept it down and made the people proud. But if not, sorry. The cheesy accomplishment earned him rave reviews from the cheering crowd. He says, I went home a hero.
I don't know if he did. I tried to look up, see if he got a Guinness record. And when I went Guinness record for most cheese balls, it's not how many anyone has eaten at one time. It was how many they stuffed in their mouth.
Trust me, this isn't like a competition food eater. This is just, it worked with the chicken guy. This just guy just had a crazy idea. He dressed up like a cheese ball, and it's New York, so... People showed up to watch it, then it became like an event. But like,
he's Cheeseball Man 427.
Yeah, the same way that like the rotisserie chicken guy. He was like, I sit on this dock and eat a whole rotisserie chicken. People were like, all right, we're going to start watching it.
That's just so weird to me. And I'm all home, see the kids, and be like, hey guys, what do you want to do this week? And I saw a flyer. You want to go down to the pier, watch a man eat cheese balls?
Yeah.
I guarantee they'd be like, hell yeah, let's do it.
What else we got going on?
Hello, George. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitchola. Can you hear me?
Gotcha, George. We got you.
All right, George, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's see here. George, either your mom or your dad or maybe both, how did your parents embarrass you while you were growing up?
Oh, geez. There's been many ways, and it's still going on. But just a real quick little snippet for Ted. He talks about going to St. Louis quite a bit, and... If you're ever back there, buddy, please let me know. I got some Bosnian friends back in the hood that if you ever want to smoke some dope, hang out, you really want to party, like I can take you to places that Anthony Bourdain went to, you know, like let's have a good time. Just let me know when you want to go.
All right. Yeah. Fair.
Seriously. I love that city. But just in terms of how my parents are making fun of me nowadays, just, oh my gosh. I think just the other day, my sister kind of got screwed out of what my parents, they won't disclose a number amount, but she went in on a house with somebody that she wasn't married to or had her name on the deed and just lost out on a whole bunch of stuff. And my parents are just saying, well, at least you're the one that's responsible, and you're not the person to spend your money like ill-wisely, I guess. I don't know. It's just embarrassing to me. It's a slap in the face.
All right. I mean, that's fair enough, man. Mm-hmm. My parents, I don't think they ever, maybe it was intentional. It's more when I was a little kid. If you were acting up, it did not matter where you were. You could be at the supermarket. You could be at the restaurant. I mean, they were loud about why you should get your act together. Mm. Steven! Okay. How many? And I mean, it's so mortifying as a kid because everyone in the restaurant, there's a hush. And they're all looking at you. And it's just this long walk back to the table. But the thing is, it was very effective. Mm-hmm. They never went out of the way to embarrass me comically. But man, if you acted up in public, you know, they just absolutely unloaded on you. And it sucked.
My parents, man, my mom, she started selling Mary Kay Cosmetics. And their color is pink. If you know anything about that, basically, the idea is if you sell enough cosmetics in this company, they will give you a pink Cadillac if you reach that level. But that's that's the Eagle Scout level of this. So you got to work for years and work your way up with all the ladder of success and all this crap and have, you know, people working under you in an Amway way, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we had this brown Volkswagen bus. Now, at the time, brown was a popular color of cars. I don't know why.
We had three brown cars at one time. We had the Pontiac, the bus, and a Datsun. And my friends called my driveway the toilet bowl because it looked like someone took a dump.
Rust colors. It's just like, you know, lime green. They were big at the time. Anyway, this thing was already an ugly bus. But when my mom started selling Mary Kay, they decided to paint the van pink so that she would have, you know, a little bit more notoriety or phone numbers on the, like, a sticker in the window with the Mary Kay logo. Or, you need
my
anything?
Mom had a friend that did Mary Kay. Yeah, her whole back window was just an ad.
Yep. And so that's how my mom, and when you walked into our dining room, which obviously, because we're a family, we never used, there was two display cases in there, like you'd walk into a Macy's with a light on the inside, and all of the, you know, that's kind of where she would throw her parties. So if she had five or six people over, they would invade our dining room and, you know, drink wine, champagne, and whatever, and then all the makeup, and, you know, they would put the makeup on at the table. Blah, 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 blah. Man, there was nothing worse than having to pull up to a soccer game, a baseball game, anywhere that my mom had to take me to the mall and drop me off to hang out with my friends so I could go watch a movie and hang out at the mall for the afternoon. I would make my mom drop me off around the block and I would walk because I did not want anyone to see me. I don't know why. I don't know why this bothered me so much.
Because you're a kid. And every other car. And it's a pink Volkswagen bus. I mean, that screams, hey, can you please make fun of me? Which as a kid, that's the last thing you want.
Right.
Yep. Your biggest thing in your childhood is to avoid ridicule.
So they weren't trying to make me feel embarrassed. I mean, it wasn't intentional. It was just...
But I think that's worse. Like, if I want to embarrass my daughter, there's 25 different things I could do, and I know what's going to happen. She even knows it's intentional, so on some level, we both kind of chuckle about it. Right. But I would be mortified if 20 years from now she's like, Dad, every time you came to my school for an event, something I had absolutely no intent on doing, like, basically, I was mortified by your presence. Yep. Like, that would kill me.
Okay, this is how bad it was.
Well, he was getting out of it. Yeah. I mean, they knew he was embarrassed.
Yeah, so I learned how to drive in a parking lot. I did not even want to be seen practice driving. And think about, you know, 15 and a half, 16-year-old kid, you're finally going to get to drive. It wouldn't matter if it was a riding lawnmower or if it went speed limit, man. You just want to be able to have a car and have that freedom of being able to go wherever you want to go.
Sure.
And I learned how to drive in the Volkswagen bus. And even then, I was embarrassed about, you know, driving through the parking lot of a Kmart to practice driving. So it comes to the point where, and by the way, the stick shift on that thing was 2 feet long.
Yeah, big tall.
The steering was not power steering. The brakes were not power brakes. This was driving a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're sitting at the front of the bus, which is much different than learning how to drive a typical standard car.
When you have a hood in front of you,
especially with the turning radius and everything else. When you're pulling into a place, you need to allow the back a lot more room. So I learned all this. I was ready to go. So I'm getting ready to go take my driving test. And I had a buddy who was 2 years older than me. And he gave me a ride into school that day, into high school that day. We played sports together. But again, he has a different friend group and all that stuff.
Sure.
And he had a 1969 Ford Galaxy 500. Now
that is a big ass.
This car was bigger than most people's homes. It was. I mean, it was a beautiful red cherry car. I mean, it had the same engine in it as a '67 fastback Mustang. To give you an idea how fast that little car would have gone,
right.
This motor was huge in this thing. Right. So I was like, Mike, I need a favor, man. He's like, what? I was like, you only have a half day. Will you drive me during my, I could go take my driver's test during driver's ed.
Oh, okay. That's
so you fair. Go to the state police and then you take your test. And I'm like, I want to drive your car, man. And he's like, are you sure you can drive this thing? I'm like, my mom was supposed to meet me, but I'm going to call her and tell her that
I've been struck by lightning.
Yeah, like I'm not going to do it today or whatever the deal was, because I did not want to go and take the test in this van. So I take, so Mike takes me and I take his car. The first thing you need to do is learn how to parallel park. And I don't know how I did it, because this thing is the size of the Titanic.
Right.
And there are cones up in this parking area. And I put on my blinker. I look back. I rip that thing in one, I mean, perfect. Nice. 4 inches from the curve. The guy opened the door and he's like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow. Put my signal on. Passed the test in this boat just because I didn't want to be seen in that van.
That is fair.
But either way. Other reason we asked, how did your parents embarrass you? We go to Ohio, and a school district in Ohio went on lockdown last week when Bigfoot was spotted walking around the campus in the school, running past the classroom windows. The Sasquatch wasn't real, obviously. They later found out it was a parent who was playing a prank on the school and their kids. While some elementary kids were outside at the time, and school officials are being commended for quickly moving them inside to safety, the lockdown process went off without a hitch, but the stunt caused panic and disrupted the school day as they were, in fact, on lockdown, trying to figure out what was going on outside.
Because of Bigfoot, yeah.
Fortunately, they say, Bigfoot never got inside the school.
Oh, thankfully.
The parent was apprehended by a school resource officer and a cop, and prosecutors are reviewing the case. It's unclear if that person will face charges. Some people obviously making light of it online. Many of them seem to be old schoolers who say the school may be overreacted to some innocent fun. But many people who have younger kids who are freaked out would not want a masked person creeping around their kid's school, even if they knew it was a parent in a costume.
That's all it is. They know it's not Bigfoot, but anyone who's dressed like Bigfoot running around a school, like, yeah, let's get the kids inside. My son's two friends, I did not know that this was going on, so this had to be a year ago, year and a half ago. Doorbell rings. It's like 8:30 at night on Saturday. Whatever. I open the door, but I don't see anyone. So I'm like, fine. Then I quietly hear some chuckling. So I look over. My wife has a bunch of plants and stuff. And I still don't see anyone, but I still hear chuckling. Then the ground moves. My heart kind of drops. I almost S myself. So these two kids had each gotten a ghillie suit. And they were going around to each one of their friends' houses. And basically just ring the doorbell.
Nice.
Yeah. It was very funny in the end. But when it finally popped up, I'm like, oh, you two clowns. I'm like, why do you have ghillie suits? And the one kid who kind of spearheaded all of this is like, just to do this, Mr. Steve. I said, okay, man, look, it's fine with me. Make sure you guys don't do it at a stranger's home. And he goes, my mom told me the same thing. The other kid goes, my mom said we might get shot. I said, well, don't sound so enthusiastic about it, but yes, that's make sure it is a friend's house, and then make sure that your friend's parents are somewhat cool, man.
The only time we were on lockdown was in junior high. And it sucked because they locked us down from lunch all the way till the buses came, which was about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, depending on how old you were. You got out
earlier,
or whatever the deal was. We're on lockdown. They chained all the doors shut. Like in the event of a fire, they chained the doors shut.
Why was it a lockdown in the first place?
We didn't know. So the entire day, you know, that sucks because at that age, man, there's nothing better in your life than afternoon recess.
Absolutely.
There's nothing better in your life than your PE class, where you can go outside and do activities and just get out of that classroom for a little bit of time. We couldn't do any of that. So PE was inside the gym. This is a beautiful day. We can't figure it out. We're still being locked down. Now there's cops that are surrounding all the doors. Turns out one of the parents who was going through a separation and or a divorce was threatening to come in and get their kids. So when they said kids, we all went, okay. So there's two.
Right.
So we figured out, like, whoever, we never knew who the parent was.
Who do you think it was?
We had our theory. We had our theories on who it was.
Joey's dad's little
brother. Not a word was spoken. And but of course everybody has a brother and sister. Like, yeah, Pat, was it your dad, man? You don't talk to your mom anymore. Shut up, man.
Oh, God.
You don't even come around, does he, Pat? Shut up.
Poor Pat.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as my account of the categories, the healthiest states in the U.S., and Ubers, and what people leave the most. Plus, we've got your emails on the way from the men's room at KISW.com, and your chance to win Metallica tickets coming up next.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.